Good morning. This is Pastor Daryl Serino from Calvary Bible Baptist Church. Just want to invite you to turn in your Bible this morning to the book of John. John chapter 4, find verse number 43. John chapter 4, verse 43. I'm going to read starting in verse 43 to the end of the chapter. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. Help me as I preach. I pray that you'd use me, Lord, to be a blessing to those who are listening. Bless the message, the word of God as it's preached. And Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer to you. Open our eyes to the truth, Lord. In your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. After spending 2 days in Samaria, and having multitudes of Samaritans believe on him, Jesus left Samaria and went into Galilee. Jesus, of course, was from Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and according to verse 44, even though Jesus had returned to Galilee, he probably did not visit his earthly hometown of Nazareth while he was there, because the Bible says in verse 44, For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. In the next verse, verse 45, the Bible says, When he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Verse 45 indicates to us that the Galileans received Jesus with respect and reverence. They honored him as a great teacher and healer because of the miracles they had seen him perform. But they did not receive him as the Son of God like the Samaritans had. The Samaritans received Christ because they heard his words and they believed his words. Christ did not perform one miracle the whole time he was in Samaria. He did not perform one miracle. He did not heal one person. He did not do one mighty work in Samaria. And yet still, multitudes of Samaritans believed on him. Then Jesus goes into Galilee, and the Bible says the Galileans received him because of the miracles they saw him perform. Back in John chapter 2, verse 23, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover on the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. The Galileans just wanted to see the great signs and wonders. They could have cared less about what Jesus had to say. They just wanted to be entertained. They just wanted some excitement. Just like a lot of religious people today who only care about having their dreams and their visions, and they could care less about what the Bible says, because if they read the Bible, they would know that only a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's what Jesus told the self-righteous religious hypocritical Pharisees in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, when they came to Christ seeking signs and wonders. The true believer doesn't need to see any signs or wonders. The true Christian doesn't need to have any dreams or visions. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our salvation isn't based on what we see. It's based on what we know. Our faith is not based on man's experiences, thank God. Our faith is founded upon what God's Word says. And the Bible says in Romans, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Jesus was referring there to the Word of God. Christ is the living Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus was the incarnate Word of God, and He is our chief cornerstone. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." I would rather fall on the Word of God and be broken, which a sinner must do in order to be saved, than have the Word of God fall on me and be ground to powder, which is what's going to happen to those who are lost and to those who reject the teachings of the Word of God and reject the Christ of the Word of God. The Word of God is the only foundation of the Christian's faith, and it should be the final authority in the Christian's life. No dream, no vision, no fleshy experience, no new revelation, no emotion, and no feeling should ever supersede the authority of God's Word in our lives. When we base our religious beliefs on human experiences and emotions, we are opening ourselves up to demonic influences, and we are allowing ourselves to be deceived by Satan, because the Bible says signs and wonders are some of the tools the devil uses to deceive people. I don't care what kind of supernatural experience you might have had. I don't care if you had goosebumps big enough for a piglet to suck on. That doesn't mean you're saved. It's foolish to think that the salvation of our eternal souls could be based on something as fickle as human feelings, because feelings and emotions change. There are days when I don't feel like I'm saved. There are times when I don't feel like a child of God. But that's when I go to the Word of God and I claim a precious promise, like in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, where it says, "Christ has promised never to leave me nor forsake me." I know I'm saved based on what the Bible says. No matter how I feel, my salvation is founded and grounded in the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. In the last part of this chapter, we read about a man whose dying son was healed because he chose to put his faith and trust in the words of Jesus Christ. During his second visit to Cana, the same place where he turned the water into wine at the wedding feast, Jesus was met by a man who the Bible says was a noble man. Other than the fact that he was a noble man, we know nothing about this man. For whatever reason, his name is not mentioned in the text. Now, some have suggested that this man might have been one of King Herod's personal servants. And that might be true. That might not be true. But whoever this man was, and whatever job he had, is not so much as important as what he did, or should I say what Christ did for him. The Bible tells us in verse 46 that this man's son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Christ and besought him to go down to Capernaum with him and heal his son, who the Bible says was at the very point of death. I want you to notice what Christ's response was to this man's request. In verse 48, Jesus said to the man, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Jesus said, "You're just like the rest of the Galileans who won't believe unless they see me perform some great miracle. Now, this man had a dying son. And yet Jesus told him, hey, you're just like everybody else who wants to see the miracles, who wants to see the signs and the wonders. You think maybe that was a little bit insensitive for Jesus to say to this man at that time? I don't think so. See, even though Jesus knew the true desire of this man's heart, he knew that this man had come to him wanting his son to be healed with no other ulterior motives. He wanted his son to be healed and made well. And he knew this man's heart. He knew the real reason for this man coming to him. But Christ was challenging this man. He wanted to see how this man would respond to truth. You know, it amazes me how so many religious people are just so determined to hold on to their own opinions and cling to their own ideas and beliefs, even when the Bible proves those beliefs to be false. Even when you show them what the Word of God says, they still refuse to accept the truth. When they're confronted with the truth, they still don't want to see it. They still don't want to accept it. They would rather believe a lie than accept the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The Word of God is the only absolute truth in the universe. The Bible is a living book, and it brings light and eternal life to all who believe it and obey it by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What was in the heart of this noble man was revealed through the Word of God. And in verse 49, he cried out to Christ, Sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, he said to Jesus, unless you heal my son will die. You are his only hope. What great, yet simple faith this man had in Christ. He didn't hope that Christ could heal his son. He believed with all his heart that he could and that he would heal his son. That kind of faith pleases God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Christ must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Matthew chapter 8, a Roman centurion came to Christ beseeching him to heal his sick servant who was like a son to him. And Jesus told the centurion that had come to him, I'll go with you and I'll heal your son. I'll come and I'll heal your son. But the man told Christ that he was unworthy to have Jesus enter his house. And instead he said to Jesus, Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, Lord, I believe all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be made whole. And when Christ heard those words of faith from the lips of the centurion, the Bible says he marveled and said to those who followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus turned to the Roman centurion and said, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the Bible says his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That Roman centurion knew that there was so much power and authority in the words that Christ spoke. He believed Jesus didn't have to touch his servant to heal him. All he had to do was speak the word and his servant would be healed. And when the centurion returned home, he found his servant alive and miraculously healed according to the word of Christ. When Jesus told the nobleman in verse 50 to go his way, his son was alive and healed. The Bible says the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The next day he returned home. And the Bible says his servants met him with the good news that his son was alive. The man asked his servants in verse 52, what time his son was healed? He said, what time did he come around? What time was he healed? And the Bible says they told him it was yesterday at the seventh hour when the fever left him. And the Bible says the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Christ spoke only three words. He said, thy son liveth. And miles away, the boy was healed. As soon as Jesus spoke the words, it was done. The thing that he had said was accomplished. What an awesome testimony to the mighty, miracle-working, life-changing power of his word. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, so shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This story here in the Bible of how Christ healed this man's son shows us that God's word is as good as his presence. Jesus didn't have to be in that house. He didn't have to touch that man's son to heal him. All he had to do was speak the word, and his son was healed. There is power in the word of God. And the more we hear the word of God, and the more we feed upon the word, the stronger our faith becomes. I don't want to hear about dreams. I don't want to hear about visions. I don't want to see the mighty works. I don't want to see the signs and the wonders. All I need is the word of God. All I need, I find written in the word of God. The person who believes on Jesus by faith and has laid hold on his word has his feet fixed firmly on the solid rock. That's why it's so important for us to fill our hearts and minds with the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Just as the words of the Savior gave life to the nobleman's dying son, the written Word of God gives light and life to every sin-sick dying sinner who has faith enough to believe what it says. What God has promised, He is able to do, even exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He said in His Word, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says in verse 53, the nobleman believed, and his whole house. The man's entire family believed on Christ and were saved, even though they had never seen him. That's true faith. And that's the same kind of faith God is looking for in people today. Maybe there is someone listening to the broadcast this morning who is looking for signs and wonders, miracles and mighty works. Maybe there is someone listening to the message this morning who is foolishly trusting in their own feelings or emotions as the basis for their religious beliefs. Friend, don't let yourself be deceived any longer. Forget about what you think. Throw aside your own ideas, opinions, and beliefs about who God is, and find out for yourself who God is. Go to God's Word. Read God's Word. Find out what it says. Open your heart to the true teachings of the Scriptures and receive Christ as your personal Savior today. This is Pastor Darrell Serino from Calvary Bible Baptist Church, reminding you that burdens are lifted at Calvary.